Today is 24 May, 2022. It's a Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 269. We will get ready for meditation. We are off the light so that you all can have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Then apply the four support to develop the awareness-based meditation. The four support are relax, completely relax, both body and mind. Then after that, maintain awareness. Just aware, finish. Then the third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Theoretically, it's 24-hour awareness. Then the last support is trust. That one you will do only later when you have trained your mind, develop the ability to be aware within. After you have the ability to be aware within through the training, then you can try the fourth support, which is trust. To trust your nature to do the meditation without any interference from your thought process. There are bodhisattvas who speak of still extinctions, Dhamma, with various instructions, teaching living beings innumerous. Seen are bodhisattvas who contemplate all Dhamma's nature as lacking the mark of duality, like empty space. Also seen are Buddha's disciples, whose mind have no attachment, and who use this wondrous wisdom, seeking for the utmost way. Then we are at the J7, Prajna. Prajna means wisdom. So now we will go into the commentaries. There are bodhisattva who, Maitreya Bodhisattva continues, speaking to Manjushri Bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas who speak of still extinctions, Dhamma. The Dhamma they teach is that of still extinction. What is the Dhamma of still extinction? So this one, most people may not understand. It is not easy to comprehend this still extinction. This is what Nibbana is, still extinction. In fact, everything sees, even the pure awareness also sees. So we see what the commentaries say. It is all Dhammas are empty appearances. It means the mark of still extinction of all Dhamma cannot be expressed in words. The Dhamma of still extinction cannot be spoken. It has no appearances. It has no color. It is not green, yellow, red, white or black. It isn't long or short, square or round. It is the Dhamma of still extinction, with various instructions, teaching. Means they use all manners of devices or skillful means and teaching method to cause living beings to turn their back on the dust and unite with enlightenment. Number two is to lead living beings to clear understanding and comprehension. Number three is to help living beings awaken to the fact that all involvement with the dust of the worldly affair is a form of suffering. So this part maybe I have to explain a bit. Because when the sutta talk about still extinction, what Master Xianhua did is, he only explained a little bit. He just say, it is all Dhammas are empty appearances. Then it says it also means the mark of still extinction of all Dhamma cannot be expressed in words. So all this, they are actually some form of expression, but it doesn't give the clear meaning of what this still extinction is. In fact, this is the unconditioned, or what we call the enlightenment, that the Buddha referred to as Nibbana. Nibbana is the unconditioned. You cannot talk about it, you cannot describe it, there is no word, nothing. It is just that nature. When everything created by the mind, the mundane mind, ceases, then even the pure awareness also ceases. Then that still extinction arises. They have to use these two words, still and extinction. Extinction means extinct already, don't exist anymore. But the characteristic within is the stillness. But this stillness is without even, not only no activity, without even the pure awareness, there is nothing inside there. That's why it's called the unconditioned. You cannot describe it, you cannot talk about it. The moment you try to describe or talk about it, it creates mark. It creates what they call activity. So it's no longer the unconditioned. These are the conditioned characteristics of the existential world or the conditional. So all this, you have to develop understanding of it before you can comprehend what still extinction is. But the best way to realize it is to go through it. The moment you have a glimpse of it, or you go through that cessation of form and mind, realizing what Nibbana is, then when you come out of it, you will understand what that thing is. Okay, we continue. Seen a bodhisattva who contemplate all Dhamma's nature. They look at the nature of all Dhamma as lacking the mark of duality. Not only are they not marked by duality, they don't even have one mark. If they don't even have one mark, ultimately, what are they like? Like empty space. Take a look at empty space. What is contained in it? There is nothing in it at all. No form and no appearances. But all the forms and appearances are not separate from empty space. All the forms and appearances are enclosed within the empty space. Will you say there is empty space in the earth? Dig a foot of earth out of the ground and you will have 1 foot of empty space. If you dug out 10 feet, you will have 10 feet of empty space. Before you dug the hole, was the space there or not? The space was there all the time. So although form and shapes are founded in space, they cannot envelop empty space. Empty space develops or envelops them. Even when they are material form, even when there are material forms, empty space is still there. Empty space is also present in places where there is no material form. Well, if it's present, then grab some and take a look at it. Oh, there is nothing there. You can't see it. If you try to taste empty space, it has no flavor. What color would you say empty space was? Empty space has no color. The real mark of all Dhamma is also that way. It is just like space. So if you understand the principles of empty space, you will understand the principle of the self nature. Therefore, it is said, the self nature is like empty space. It contains both the true and the false. Awaken, phantom the basic substance, in one understanding, understand all. So this is the poem. In fact, a better analogy would be the neumonal and the phenomenal world. The neumonal is like the oneness, the space, the all of space, the oneness, nature, the unending space. Then the phenomenal are the phenomena that arise within the neumonal. So in that way, you understand it better. Yeah? Okay, I read on. The truth is also non-existent. Oh, sorry. The paragraph is up there. Okay. The self nature is like empty space. It contains both the true and the false. Within the self nature, both true emptiness and wonderful existence are found. True emptiness is just wonderful existence. And wonderful existence is just true emptiness. That's why in Mandarin, Mahayana, they pronounce it as 真空妙有. It is most certainly, I think should be the word not the case, that wonderful existence is to be found apart from true emptiness. The word should be not. Nor is it the case that true emptiness is to be found apart from wonderful existence. The very true emptiness itself is wonderful existence, and wonderful existence itself is true emptiness. All these are words. The actual meaning is very profound, very deep, not easy to comprehend. You see, when we talk about true emptiness means 真空. The meaning here means when you have realized true emptiness, then you will understand the unconditioned and you will know how to apply it onto the conditioned world. That's why after that, you understand life, you know how to live life, and life becomes wonderful, meaningful. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. It's not just true emptiness and wonderful existence are the same. No. True emptiness is when you have penetrated the awakening, the realization of true emptiness. 真空 is not just the word or knowledge of emptiness when people just say, hey, everything is empty. It's not the word. When you have penetrated true emptiness, means empty nature existence, the anatta nature, non-self nature, not a permanent and changing entity, then everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, means no reality. Empty nature of existence. You cannot deny that there is life, there is existence. But are they real? Is it real? No. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, where it is a condition. So when you comprehend this, awaken to this, then only you will not be deluded by the condition world. You will realize clearly, profoundly, the universal characteristics of all phenomena, the impermanent characteristic, the suffering characteristics, and the empty nature or non-self characteristics. Anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. So comprehension of this is the real meaning. Means in true emptiness, when you have realized true emptiness or 真空, then life becomes different. Life becomes clear to you. You can understand life differently and clearly. And you can comprehend life very, very clearly. Then from there, life become meaningful, wonderful. That's how it's linked. When you have realized true emptiness, 真空, then wondrous or wonderful existence can come to be, which is the third phase of the Dhammapadivida. When you have realized the enlightenment, the awakening, then you get to reap your hard work, the cultivation, and you can realize that enlightenment which will enable you to live the life of an enlightened being. Yeah. Then that form of mind connected to that wisdom can actually live life, can realize that type of understanding to enable him to live the noble life of an enlightened being. Okay, we go back to the sharing. Yeah? So hopefully with this explanation is clearer. When the truth is not postulated, the false is basically empty. When existent and non-existent are both cast out, what is not empty has been made empty. So this is the poem. Huh? The truth is also non-existent. What is the truth? To speak about the truth is just to cheat people. What is the truth? What is false? The false is also non-existent. If you talk about false, you are also cheating people. It's merely the case that within their heart, living beings, as common worldly creature, hold to a truth and a false. When you arrive at the self nature, however, it is like empty space. Empty space would never say, I'm empty space. It has no ego, no self. If it said, I'm empty space, then it wouldn't be empty space. It would turn into an existing entity. So how could it remain empty space? Emptiness has no self at all. Our own self nature are also like that. That's why I always share with you all, eh? That nature, our true nature, our self nature or original nature, that one cannot come out and live life because it's not a being. That's why there is no permanent unchanging entity within. So all this is just playing with the words. Eh? And when you try to use the thought process, the mundane mind, to comprehend their knowledge, you can never do so. Because the realization of the unconditioned is a prerequisite to develop the understanding. So initially, don't try to understand. Don't try to know. Just let things be. Then when the time comes, when you go through, you will comprehend. You will understand. Carry on. Or you say, is there nothing at all? That's really a shame. Nothing, whatever. Don't be afraid. When you have nothing at all, then you truly have all the mountains, river, and the great earth, the forests and trees, and the minute objects within the world system of 3,000 great thousand worlds. None of them are not yours. They are all yours. But you must truly have nothing at all. If you have even a hair breadth of obstruction, then none of it counts as yours. So here, I think Master Xuanhua used words to describe it. I think at the time when he proclaimed all this, he was using Mandarin. In Mandarin, it will sound a lot better. Because the play of words and the Mandarin language is a good expression of this Mahayana type of Dhamma. But when it comes to English educated Dharma practitioner, you read all this, you will find it funny. You will find it very difficult to comprehend. But actually, what you need to understand is the oneness nature. That true nature, that self nature is actually the oneness nature. That is the original nature. Originally, like Wei Ning said, there was nothing back end, the dust aligned. But from that nature, all things arise. That's why it is very difficult to comprehend. So in order to develop the understanding, you must not use thought. If you use thought, you cannot comprehend. Yeah. That nature is just that thing. Thusness cannot be described. There is unconditioned. It's the source. You know what is the source, isn't it? Originally. Before anything exists or arises, that is the original nature, the true nature. Then from there, all of consciousness, existence, phenomena, they arise. So in order to realize that, you have to go through the cessation and develop the understanding. Go back. That way, no need to change. Okay, because you have that one little bit of obstruction, you cannot enjoy the possession of all those things. You have attachment and impediment. You have no attachment and impediment, then you would truly have wealth and honor to the extreme, so that all of empty space and the entire Dharma realm will be included in your self nature. So this is Chuan Hua's way of explaining the thing. But what is more important is to understand that all this cannot be understood by the thought process to knowledge. Enlightened, you understand the basic substance of your self nature. Then in one understanding, you understand all. So this is the description of enlightenment. When you are clear about one thing, then you are clear about everything. There is nothing you do not comprehend, nothing you do not understand. You penetrate the three bodies, the four wisdom, the five eyes, and the six spiritual penetration. You don't have to look for them outside. They are the jewels within your own household. Hearing this, if you don't become greatly enlightened, you should at least have a minor enlightenment. Don't waste your time. Though I might speak for half a day, it's as if I haven't spoken. If you don't listen, that's even more wonderful. I haven't spoken and you haven't heard. That is the genuine, miraculous prajna wisdom. So this one is very difficult to comprehend. Well, these are conversation between enlightened beings. Also seen are Buddha's disciples, whose mind have no attachment. How's that? Everything is quite alright. Everything is okay. This kind of non-attachment, however, it's not easy to achieve. You must truly understand the way, obtaining the bright light of the self nature in order to be unattached. But how does one obtain wisdom? It's just by being unattached. The non-attachment itself is wisdom. If you have a single bit of attachment, you won't have that wisdom. So this one is referring to the egoic mind. You need the ego to cling, to grasp, to create attachment, to hold on to things. So the egoic mind is the personality or the entity born of sakyadity, self-delusion, thinking that you exist, you are real. The five aggregates of form and mind are what you are. So all these are delusion. Then we go on. What is wisdom? Does it say right here in the text, who used this wondrous wisdom seeking for the utmost way? This wondrous wisdom comes simply from your non-attachment. If you have attachment, you will not be able to have this subtle wondrous wisdom. This wisdom arises from your non-attachment. Here the word they say, so you are wise. It is because you are wise. So the wisdom arises from non-attachment means when you can like transcend reality, transcend the ego, realize the true emptiness of all things or all phenomena. When you can insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then during that time, the wisdom will suddenly like trigger off. And when it's trigger off, there is no words. Then you will not be deceived or deluded by the phenomenal. It cannot attach, it cannot hold, it cannot cling, it cannot give meaning to things. But it will understand clearly. The conditioned world is the conditioned world. The unconditioned is the unconditioned. Within the unconditioned, there is nothing. Everything doesn't exist. But within the conditioned world, everything is like real, exists. So the wisdom comes from the penetrative understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned. Combining the two wisdom, then use it to live life. That's why it can become wondrous or wonderful existence. So when you comprehend both sides, it's comprehending true emptiness. So I will read on. You should have no attachment. You should not think, I can't put this down. And I can't give that up. So this is referring to mundane people who still have attachment. If you can't put it down, then you won't have this wondrous wisdom. If you can put it down, your wondrous wisdom and intelligence will manifest. This is Shen Huo's way of putting it. But enlightenment is not like knowledge that comprehends it that way. Means if you can put everything down, then the wondrous wisdom is there. If you cannot put things down, means you have attachment, then you cannot awaken. Theoretically, there is some truth in what is spoken. But when it comes to real, practical cultivation, it doesn't happen that way. This wondrous wisdom or this enlightenment has to manifest. The awakening has to arise. Means you have to go through the cultivation, develop the silent mind, or stay with your true mind. Then that awareness nature is the one that can insight into phenomena and awaken. When it awakens, then it realizes the delusion of sakyadity. When it realizes the delusion of sakyadity, then it will penetrate the universal characteristic to realize true emptiness. Then when he realized true emptiness, he will come to know that everything is not what you think, what you believe. That's how non-attachment triggers. When you understand the empty nature of all phenomenal things, then you cannot grasp, you cannot cling. That's how non-attachment has been described. But it's not the other way around. It's not when you say, you can give up everything, let go of everything, or not attached to anything, then you become enlightened. It's not like that. It's the other way around. When you cultivate until you realize the true emptiness, or the wondrous emptiness, true emptiness, when you insight into phenomena and awaken, then suddenly that understanding, that awakening will trigger the realization. Then the mind, the former mind that has that wisdom, that realization and awakening, can no longer be deluded, can no longer grasp and cling on to things. That's how it happened, not the other way around. Okay, we go back. If you can put it down, your wondrous wisdom and intelligence will manifest. So this one is not that correct. Huh? This one is for lay people. The actual happening is not like that. If it's so easy, then no need to cultivate. Huh? You can put it down. Very easy. Put it down. I don't hold. I don't cling. It's not like that. Huh? One of my disciples, Ms. Shen Hua, has said to me a number of times, no one's making offering to the Triple Gem. So many people, and only one of them had made offering. No one else has given. When I heard that, I wanted to cry. Why did I want to cry? Because I was afraid that my three disciples were going to starve to death. What will we do then? So I wanted to cry. Just as I was about to burst into tears, it occurred to me, that's an attachment. And I didn't cry. I laughed. Why did I laugh? I thought, why? That's the very best thing that could possibly happen. If no one made offering, it will reveal whether or not you really want to cultivate the way. It will draw out and harden your spiritual skill. This is Shen Hua's version. You have spiritual power and real samadhi power, then you can meditate and cultivate. When you can sit for 10 days straight, do you think there will be no offering? No doubt. They will come from all over the country to make offerings to you. Why? Among Westerners, there are sages. People will cry. They can sit for 10 days, thus unmoving. Would you still fear that no one would make offering to the Triple Gem? There would be nothing to fear. On the other hand, you could also say that starving to death was the ultimate, the most glorious sacrifice. I left home for the sake of the Buddha's teaching. I do not take advantage of circumstances. I am going to sit here. And if no one make offering, I am not going to go out and try to. Oh, this is what learning wrong spelling. Find them. If I starve to death, I will certainly get enlightened. It will be just like the bhikkhu who held the precept against killing so purely that he refused to drink water, which had bugs in it, and consequently died of thirst. Because he was so sincere, the Buddha used his spiritual power to bring to where the Buddha was. And he met the Buddha even before his traveling companion who drank the water. Although the Buddha had already entered Nirvana, of Parinibbana, you can still hear him speak the Dhamma to you. Don't be nervous. So today is a publicly announced that the Samaneras are not to have money. You may not have money in, they may not have money in their hands. But you say, what about doing my laundry and buying soap and things? I need money for that, don't I? A small amount, $3 or $5, is all right. But don't carry more than that. More just lead to trouble. If you take care of money, you won't be able to cultivate. You will have to keep books. If you don't keep books, the donor will think, I gave them money, but they have no record of it. What are they doing with it anyway? And they will distrust you. So this is also Xianhua's way, description. Intro is different, depending on how you understand it and how you perceive it. In all the years I have left home, is Master Xianhua, I will tell you, I have never told anyone to make offering to me so that I could eat. I will tell you something else. This master to whom you bow is one without ability. What ability does he lack? He is unable to get money from people. I talk to people, and if they give, they give. If they don't, I do not pressure them. Besides, you should all know, a single grain of donor's rice is as heavy as Mount Sumeru. If you eat it and fail to cultivate, you will end up wearing a fur coat and horn. If you eat and drink the offering of the faithful, but do not cultivate the way, if you do nothing but chatter all day long, senselessly, whenever a time when your mouth is shut, do you think you can cultivate that way? I'm telling you to talk less and to work harder. That is the fundamental duty of one who has left the home life. Here, the English translation is not that good. The true communication was in Mandarin. When the lay people look at those who have left the home life, they think they are just like us. We eat, they eat. We talk, we sleep, they sleep. They are no different from us, are they? Why should we make offering to them? I'm included in this myself. That's why I don't speak about useless matter. Anyway, I can't speak English. I don't like to talk a lot. So I don't. Besides, I don't have the time. If you eat and fail to cultivate the way, in the future, it will be disastrous. This is true because the understanding of the renunciation way or the tradition of Sakyamuni Buddha to go for is to be worthy of respect, worthy of offering, worthy of the food and shelter. To be worthy means to cultivate. If you don't cultivate, then the coming offense can be very severe. That's why Xianhua used the word disastrous. So this word disastrous is very true. Disastrous in the sense that is amounting to deceiving people to make offering to you by putting on the robe. But you are not the intended renunciate who will cultivate as per the Patimokkha or as per the monk's rules and training that the Buddha has laid down. So I read again. If you eat and fail to cultivate the way, in the future, it will be disastrous. This is very true. So this constitutes cheating, deceiving. Why should people go out and work and then give offering to you? Only because you cultivate the wheat means you are worthy of offering. If you do not cultivate the wheat, if you do not work hard, if you do not sit in dhyan, you are not entitled to receive people's offering. This concerns me greatly. So Xian Huang also knows. I will tell you about something that happened to me. The first year I was in Hong Kong, I had no money and I did not beg for any. Later, a lay person took me to Fuzhong Mountain, Fuzhong Mountain, to live in Kuan Yin Cave. The cave was extremely damp. In the cave, to say nothing of the cup, there was nothing at all, no table, no chair, nothing at all. It was totally empty. I sat on a flat rock, which stuck out from the wall. I sat there for several days, and what do you think happened? My leg refused to move. They were numb and had no feeling in them at all. At that point, I had a false thought. It was, I don't want to sit here. I think I will leave. But then I thought, someone took me here to cultivate. If I just stay for 3 days and leave, how could I possibly face anyone? How could I explain my action? I will have no way to do so. I don't care if I die here. I'm not going to leave the cave. I sat and sat for over half a month until my leg regained their feeling and I could use them once more. They no longer refused to cooperate. The everyday I went down the mountain carrying a bowl, a bath, to beg for food and brought it back to eat. But my obstacles loomed large. After a year, because of the dampness inside the cave, I built a tiny hut outside, right outside it. As soon as it was built, the obstacle arose. The neighboring Dharma master grew jealous of me and told the people at the nearby monastery, don't make offering to him. He has got money. If he has got money to build a hut, how could he not have money for food? Don't make offering to him. The supervisor of the monastery believed him and refused to give me food. At that time, I was without offering altogether. No one made offering, but I thought, I have a few scraps of food here. I will eat them and then meditate. I did not tell anyone that I had no food to eat. I did not go out and no one came to see me. I thought, if I starve to death, I starve to death. So what? To starve to death is even better, even more glorious. To sacrifice one's life for the Buddha Dharma, there could be no greater glory, nothing more wonderful. Before I continue, you see, earlier on, Master Xuan Huang said his coming become larger after he built the heart. Yeah, these are the your coming obstruction or your coming negativity that you have developed from past life. Then when it comes to cultivation, you have to overcome them. You have to clear them. That's why he shared this story. Yeah? So I realized Pastor General had a lot of this style of encounter. He had a lot of enemies to him and a lot of what they call fight with the Maras. And on many occasions, but he was finally saved most of the time by Kuan Yin or Dharma protectors. Okay, I read on. The supervisor of the monastery believed him and, I sat for several days. There was a lay person in his 50s who has been bitten in the leg by a dog. or 3 months have gone by, and the wound still haven't healed. He had gone to both Chinese and Western doctors, but none had been able to cure him. One night he had a dream. In his dream, Huitao Bodhisattva appeared and told him, "You want your leg to heal, you should go to make offering to the Dharma Master in Kuan Yin Cave on the far side of Fuzhou Mountain." And then Huitao Bodhisattva said, "My name. Go make offering to him, and the dog bite, and your leg will heal. It will be no problem." He had that dream several times in one night. Huitao Bodhisattva also told him what the Dharma Master looked like. And he saw how I looked. When he awoke from his dream, he believed it and took over 70 Hong Kong dollars as well as 30 kgs of rice, which he carried on his back up to Kuan Yin Cave. When the neighboring Dharma Master saw the food owner, the Dharma Protector, coming up the path, he ran out to welcome him and said what he and see what he was carrying. The donor asked, "Does a Dharma Master live here?" he asked. "I'm in charge here," came the reply. "Whatever you wish to give, you may give it to me. Don't go look for any other Dharma Master." "But I saw a certain Dharma Master in my dream," the lay people continue. The lay person continued. "He didn't look anything like you. Huitao told me to give the offering to him, and he wasn't like you at all. I want to give this thing to him." How the Dharma Master's temper blaze. "What are you talking about? What kind of talk is that? I'm the supervisor here. He most certainly is not. Any offering you wish to give, you should give to me." And he started to wrangle with the lay person. I was in the cave and could hear them. When my name came out in the conversation, I went out to take a look at what was going on. When the lay person saw me, he exclaimed, "That's him, that's the person I saw in my dream. I had come to make offering to this Dharma Master." The Dharma Master was furious. I asked the lay person what had happened, and he told me about his dream. I said, "Good, make your offering. Making offering to other people is just the same as making offerings to me. You wish to make offering to me, and this Dharma Master is my neighbor. Although we eat separately, we divide up everything. You should give half the rice and money to him." The Dharma Master was sputtering with rage, and he wanted to argue, but he couldn't think of anything to say. The offering was divided in half, and he said to the lay person, "After this, if you want to give offering, you must first give them to me." At any rate, I didn't starve to death. The lay person got the name Dharma Master Homegrown because he liked to speak the Dhamma, and he has homegrown. That is not an important Dharma Master. He was really a Dharma Master, of course. He was a lay person. Oh, sorry, he wasn't really a Dharma Master, of course. He was a lay person. So people heeded him by using the nickname. And everywhere he went, he said, "Oh, it's really strange. In Kuan Yin Cave, there is a Dharma Master. In a dream, Huitao Pusa told me I should go make offering to him and my leg would heal. I did. And sure enough, as soon as I got back, my leg healed all by itself without the aid of doctor. He thought it was very strange." After that incident, which was really nothing in itself, I did not starve to death. Although no one made offering to me, the lay people of Hong Kong started coming from long distance, and they all made offering. No matter who gave offering, I divided them in half between myself and the Dhamma master next door, although they were given to me. I gave him half. Later, he used all kinds of methods to try to ruin me. Finally, I had to leave. I couldn't live there. I went to build the Western Bliss Temple. Okay, we'll continue. Now we'll have the second session.
Actually, that day, the sharing between Bharatio and Polian and Tammy, I find it very useful.
Yeah, very useful. Yes, that one is very useful. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, then, you know, the part about just be relaxed whenever we feel like angry or negative.
Yeah, be with it, yes.
Be with it.
Silent and be with it. Then find out, through that silence, you will understand. Don't go and think. Don't go and like rationalize or analyze. No need. Silent. That's why that one came for her to develop the understanding is also her condition. That the emotion becomes so strong and it manifests for her to have the condition to do it. Although she didn't do it correctly. Yeah. As she tried to silence and be with it, she was listening to the talking, he said the chipping, like the bird. Normally he also chip, but that time he silent and he didn't chip. But he was listening to the friends chipping or talking. So no need actually. If she completely silent, just let things be, then it will cease very fast. No need to wait for 20 minutes for it to cease. Yeah, that day sharing was very good.
Yeah, Radio.
Even Sister Tammy one is also good about relationship.
Yes. That one, not only marriage life, relationship with other people also can apply.
With your family members, your parents, your siblings, and also with society, with your neighbor, with your office colleague. That's why life itself is our greatest teacher. Through life, we interact. We interact with living beings, sentient beings, sometimes non-humans too. And the environment, the whole of nature, society. So all these are part and parcel of relationship. That's why the Dhamma is about life. The whole of life is actually Dhamma.
Radio, what?
Yes.
The earlier one about Pauline's example. I know that, you know, we should be like be with it, silent, and you know just wait for it to pass. But sometimes I cannot be like that because like when I'm working, I still need to, you know, interact with the colleagues that is right in front of me. Or you know, I still need to like speak to a person.
You look at the condition. If there is condition, then you just excuse yourself. You just say, sorry, I had to excuse myself for a while. Then you go. Maybe you can go to your room if you have a room. Or you can go to a quiet place. It can be wherever you can find peace. Then silent, stay there. Sometimes you can just go to the toilet and stay inside that silent. For the Muslim, I think they have their prayer room. For non-Muslim, I don't know whether you have prayer room or not. You can go to the prayer room too. But it will be better if you are a senior staff. Maybe like you should have your own room in there.
I have my own cubicle, but after the department merge, they come up with new concept of
open concept.
Yeah, open concept.
It's
so
okay.
everyone the same.
It's okay. Even open concept also is okay. It is actually up to us, because I remember when I was still working, of course I was very fortunate. In the office, I got my own room. Then I don't know why all along, since the first day I went to work, I sure have a room. And it's aircon and everything, and the facilities are always there. Then I always have my kapak on. Very strange. So all these are part of me, I think. Then what is more important is, even when I was out in the meeting, like when I was with the consultants in the meeting, then some of these meetings are very long, 2-3 hours, and it involves a lot of people. Then to wait for your turn, sometimes you have to wait for at least 1 hour before it comes to your agenda and all those things. Then normally our agenda is just a few items. Yeah. So what I did was, I just crossed my leg there. Yeah. Of course, I took out my shoe. Then with the socks, I crossed my leg. I sat on the chair. Then next to me were another 2 other consultants. We are the consultants, so we sit one side. The contractor sit one side. The client and the architect sit another side in the center. And when I was sitting there, of course, I closed my eye. Then they saw me so still, so quiet, they thought I slept. Then when it was about my agenda was about to come out, the 2 of them were joking on it. Hey, this deal is still sleeping. His agenda is next, or I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to get firing from the architect. Surprisingly, when the agenda come out, when the architect asked, our company's name is Kemas Pakat, is it? Kemas Pakat, what's your response? I straight away opened the eye and answered. They got a shock. After that, they talked behind. Hey, he's not sleeping. I don't know what he's doing now. So it depends on your ability. If you have the skill, you can. You can actually silent anyway. Like Chen Hua said, he doesn't want to talk. Well, he doesn't know English. So he talked less. But when he shared the Dhamma, he talked a lot, nonstop. Then the good thing about being a Dhamma master from China is he need his talk or sharing to be translated. So I have attended many of his talks before the recording. He always speak for about 10, 15 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes. Then he sometimes can break to 25 minutes. Well, the translator was very good. The Guai Luo, sometimes a Chinese nun also there. But they are very good. They seem to understand what he say and can recall what he say and translate the whole thing with 90% accuracy, which was very good. So whenever the translation was given, I saw him resting there. He's silent and he just smiled. And when they translate wrongly, he also know, he corrected them. So that was amazing. So it depends on your understanding, your ability to do all this. So not an issue at all. Sometimes if at that moment, there is condition for you to be like very affected, even like songs kiss or what, you can just excuse yourself and say, I'd like to excuse myself. I'll come back to you all later. So you just go and find your space. Or if you need to attend to all those things, then just attend to it and let it be. No condition, just let it be. you got condition, straight away silent. So most of the time in the early days, I remember, I just excuse myself. But the best is when you are alone, and your staff, sometimes your staff or sometimes your unreasonable, that one, what I call, they are not my client. Because we all do property development and maintenance. So the maintenance side, you know, that time I was in the university. The university got a lot of these faculties. Then they got a lot of big shot now, very, very big shot now. They got the dean, the deputy dean, the head of department, professor, associate professor. Then they also have the chancellor, deputy, vice chancellor, deputy vice chancellor, and a lot of other head of like library and all those things. And all these people, their buildings, their property, their rooms, they are under our department's maintenance. And sometimes they want to do renovation, means they redevelop, also under us. So sometimes the complaint that come in can be very, what they call, unreasonable and all those things. So before you have the Dhamma, especially my staff, a lot of them, wow, they were so horrified and panicked whenever they see the professor or associate professor complain. Then the dean also, when they call up the office and file the complaint, sometimes they write to the vice chancellor. Then the letter come down, then somebody is going to get the hit. So when I first went over and took over the office, they already bet on me. They say, I don't think this new engineer can last more than 3 months. Then the longest one was one guy, I think. That lasted 6 months, I think. So they were betting on me. I didn't know until later on, after the 3 months over. Then only my staff came in and talked to me and let me know. They said, Mr. Teo, you are very good. Said, a lot of people bet that you will leave before the 3 month probation. I said, is it? Then he said, this is a mad house, is it? Put 10 engineers also not enough. He said, you are just a bachelor degree holder, bachelor BE, bachelor in engineering, civil engineering. All these people, they have master degree, PhD, professor, very, very qualified or no. Then a very big shot, no? It's just like you have the Argonne up there, then you have so many sultan, no? The dean of department is like sultan, no? Then down there is so many of his officers, or everyone is better qualified than you, no? And they can just bulldoze their complaint to the dean's department. Then through the dean, they will just fire. But the dean is higher ranking than our department head. So all this, they of all the strange thing, they put a AR, assistant registrar, as our head. That's why it become like, it's a madhouse. I say, how not to be a madhouse? So finally, after I think about 3 or 4 months, they actually know that I was good, and they confirmed me, and they put me on that post that my predecessor was having. He was a, I think you call it what, what is it already? The very high ranking type, super skill, super skill. He was actually a super skill app, no, officer, no, second from JKL, and I didn't know, and he left because of some discipline thing. He got license to hold a gun. it seems in one of the confrontation with the staff, I think there were a lot of these workers that wanted to rebel against, took out the gun and fired a shot into the air. That's why he was cold storage and they looked for an engineer. But all the ones that come, the 8 or 9, all didn't last more than 3 months. Then finally, I was the 9 on the hot. And then I took over. Yeah. So after I took over, he want to really go through all this. There are a lot of opportunities. Then I trained my staff, my engineers, my TA. I said, you don't worry. Yeah. You just treat them like normal people. Yeah. Why is there for you to develop fear and anxiety? There are rules to follow. So that's why I started to organize a thing and I said, you don't worry, I said, I will set it right, I said. If the complaint come in, within 3 days, there will be a response, reply and respond. Yeah. If not, then you can complain. Yeah. Then also, I put in a lot of procedure. I said, all requests must be in writing. No more to phone call and all those things. Yeah. Unless it's emergency and all those things. Yeah. So after I put that out, there was a great hoo-ha. He said, who is this engineer? He said, just a bachelor degree trying to create new rules. Yeah. Then, you know, some of the very high-ranking professor, you know, sometimes they think they're entitled to a lot of things. You know. They ask for very big room and all those things, you know, then they want it to be furnished. Then when they see that dean got the other dean also wants to follow, and then more and more. Then our department, the allocation come from the government. You cannot just do this without budget and all those things. So I look up the circular, then I realized there was a circular that control how big a room all this officer can have. And there is also the other things that they are entitled to and not entitled. Only essential staff are entitled to direct line. The rest are all the PABX line, the extension line. So all this, I implement. Oh, they got very angry. They went to prop direct. Yeah. The complaint came down, vice chancellor come down. Then my boss is a deputy vice chancellor. Of course, he will come after me. He said, Tio, what the hell is going on? How come all these people are complaining? I said, Paul, we have to install some form of check and balance. I said, if I don't highlight all this, then there is no money to do all this. Yeah. Unless you come out with the allocation, then we do. Yeah. Then he realized the problem. Then he brought it out and went to the vice chancellor. The vice chancellor finally said, okay, those who go beyond their privilege have to go through the vice chancellor unless the vice chancellor give exemption or approval. He said, they cannot get. So everything was resolved after that. Then they realized I solved things very fast and very efficiently. That's why all this become possible. So if you want to really develop the cultivation and the test, you must have all this understanding. Then in the office, there are a lot of opportunities. Like you come to realize relationship is not only about married life and all those things. Even for you, not married, but there are relationships with colleagues, with parents, with your brothers and sisters, or whoever. Even your neighbor, kayamitas, friends, colleagues, and all things. So all these are part and parcel of cultivation. That's why I always develop the understanding and share with you all. Life itself is our greatest teacher. You can learn a lot from life. The application of Noble Eightfold Path is in life itself. Without life, you cannot cultivate. Because to arise the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, you need relationship, you need condition. you need interaction and all those things. So Dhamma is actually very beautiful. It can give rise to all the appropriate causes and conditions for you to develop the understanding, the test, for you to actually go through the various, we call it the karmic condition and karmic obstacle. Then you start to understand why different people have different problems, different issues, why everyone is so different, why condition is all so different. Everywhere you go, everyone you encounter, conditions are all very different. So all this is Dhamma. So hopefully with this understanding, it will widen your scope of understanding, Manya.
Actually, when I listen to Brother Teo talking about your work experience.
Yeah, a bit soft. Can you speak nearer to your mic, Manya?
Am I loud now?
Yeah, now okay.
Good. When I listen to Brother Teo talking about your work experience, it is really very challenging.
Not easy. I tell you, a lot of people cannot take it. They cannot take it. The stress is crazy. And they say it's a madhouse. You put 10 engineers or not enough. That was spoken by the Deputy Vice Chancellor, my immediate boss. When I went and report for work, first day he met me. He said, "Teo, come. I wish you luck." He said. Then I laughed. I said, "Why?" He said, "I was told this is a madhouse. Is it? Put 10 engineers also not enough. A lot of complaint on it. You better be ready for it." Is it? So he said, "I wish you luck." Is it? I still remember him. He is a very good boss, Professor Leo Frederick. He finally was nominated to the United Nations. He worked at the United Nations. He was a very famous professor, Leo Frederick. I like him, his style. He's very good. He really take care of me too. And he liked me a lot too. I solve a lot of his problems. He received a lot of feedback. Then he got a secretary, which is also very good. So the secretary later on become very close to me also. Keep on calling me. He said, Mr. Teo, I'd like to talk to you. He said, "My husband looking for an engineer. He wants to have somebody as good as you want." He asked me to recommend. But finally, I recommend one of my classmates who is very close to me too, and he's very good. So everything worked out. But they can see, they observe, they know. Through the interaction, she is a very good secretary. She really perfect, I tell you, everything. It is there that I learned a lot of things. The first time I went over there, I only worked for 3 years after I resigned from JKR. Then when I was there, I was in my 4th year after graduation. So actually 4 years, you are still new. And when we were in JKR, we don't have a personal secretary or stenographer or clerical staff, admin staff, don't have one. We all have a pool on, common one. So whatever you want, you give it to the KSU, Ketua Surat Menyurat, that person will allocate to the typist and arrange the file, everything, then you receive them. Because it's so big, the organization. But when I was there, I was shocked. Well, my position was actually quite important because I cover a lot of things. It's a very huge department. So I got 800 over staff on them. Then they gave me 1 secretary, 2 stenographers. Stenographer is to write shorthand on. So I had to dictate to them. They just write. Then they do the letter. Then they file for me, they type for me, everything. That's why it's very efficient. And I can push out a lot of things and do a lot of things. So management skill, delegate. You must know how to delegate your authority. Delegation is very important. When you are in a senior post or senior assignment, you must know how to delegate, and you must know how to streamline your workflow. You cannot go into everything micro anymore unless it's urgent and important. Otherwise, you have to really delegate and make sure you see to it that they are able to handle it. So when it comes to career, there's a lot of things to but you must have the understanding and the interest, like Dhamma. You have the Dhamma to help you, support you, then it helps a lot. I realize my Dhamma understanding and my mindfulness and my Noble Eightfold Path helped me to resolve a lot of problems or issues. And my understanding, I am very good in my own career, my own profession. As a civil engineer, I'm very good. I know a lot of things. I understand a lot of things. My design also very good. My understanding of soil mechanics, fluid mechanics, all these technical things I'm very good. Building, construction, civil, even the supervision management, or everything, project management, I was very good. Even claims, I was very good. That's why I reached the pinnacle of my career life, and I went through the whole thing, and I did what I want to do, and I went through the whole we call it the whole of the career path that a civil engineer can actually experience. I did them all, and I reached the pinnacle of my career. Then I retired. So all these were very beautiful, very wonderful, and I achieved a lot of milestones in life. So all the things that people wish to have, I have them all, even the spiritual side, finally. Not only materialistic success, career and all these things, financial, but finally even spirituality, spiritually, I also reach more or less the pinnacle of it. So all these are possibility of understanding. You have the Dhamma, you have your understanding, and all this can be realized. You can achieve them. As I said, life can be really wonderful, meaningful.
I agree. There are a lot of things that we can learn. When I look back at all my years of working, I'm really happy with it, because whatever I'm assigned, I can do.
Correct.
And I do it well.
I'm very blessed.
But then I keep asking myself, if I have achieved so much, then why am I still have anxiety, doing my work? I should be like very calm already, because I can handle. Why is it that when I work now, I will still have anxiety whether I can do it in time?
Why or not? Because these are habitual tendencies that you have not rooted out yet. Actually, because of your lack of stability or understanding the Dhamma, when you have the stability already, all this no more, gone. The anxiety, all these are your habitual tendency. The fear, the mind, project, develop the fear, the insecurity. But these are from your early days, your past. So all these are also related to karma, to how you live your life. When you don't have awareness, sati, the clarity, the understanding, the stability of understanding, the wisdom, then this Yoniso Manasikara cannot arise to prompt you and to enable you to transform. That's why you can come to terms with everything. Why you want to panic? It's a reality. Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah, I asked myself that one also.
Yeah, to give up the fear. Why you still have anxiety? It's not a question of why. It's a question of understanding who is anxious. Who developed the fear and the insecurity? It's the thought. The thought that creates the movement is deluded with psychiatry. That's why it projects and creates the fear. Why should it project? The reality is now, here, in the moment. Condition like that, things like that, I have to accept first. If I accept, I don't panic anymore. I don't get angry anymore. I don't blame anymore. I don't point finger anymore. I just accept and move. I resolve it. That's why you must apply all this understanding. Unless you resolve issue, settle it amicably, your life cannot be peaceful. People will come after you. They will haunt you.
Yeah.
Because you left it hanging unresolved. Then it becomes problem. It becomes like misery, suffering. So it will create all the negativity of mind state because it's not resolved. So whatever that is not resolved will remain as a problem in your mind, which is your memory, your thought process. You worry about it. It hasn't been resolved. But when it is resolved, it's gone. When it's gone, you can sleep.
Yeah.
No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. You can even laugh about it or joke about it. But when it's not resolved, you worry. Especially when it comes to your own personal health, your financial situation, your relationship with people, your parents, somebody close to you. You tend to be affected because of the attachment, clinging, and grasping, because the Dhamma has not been taught in the proper way. The proper Dhamma is like what the Buddha said. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. That is the reality. Sajna, ta-ta-ta. You have to accept it. See things as they are. Don't go and project your thought and worry about it. There's no amount of fear, worry, anxiety can help you. Understand that and wake up. Then ask, who fear? What fear? It's the thought. Why must I use thought when it comes to spiritual understanding? I need awareness. When I'm aware, I can understand a lot of things. I can resolve a lot of things. The awareness melt away all these mind states which are negative, or they call it the wrong thought, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your emotion, and all things. When you are aware, silent, then it ceases. Then you realize they are not intrinsic within your nature. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of not, due to your wrong view, due to your habitual tendency, due to your delusion, your attachment, your clinging. So contemplate, reflect until very, very clear. Then the next time when it happens, learn to see things as they are, learn to develop the right view, the right understanding, to accept what happened. That moment, within the moment, then stay with the moment and resolve things amicably and move. Don't go and complain and project your thought, develop the fear and the worry and blame people. Don't need it. Come to terms with it, confront it, say this is a reality. The first noble truth, the eighth reality. I am now confronting them. Then I resolve them one by one. So if you systematically develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path through understanding, then everything will fall into place. Then that delusion, sakayadhiti, that condition you to become negative, miserable, unhappy, fearful, will not happen anymore. Okay, Manya?
Yeah, thank you, Brother Teo.
Yeah, it can be done.
I have faith it can be done, but
yeah.
It's still troubling me in certain ways, certain things that I
because you have not developed the stability of the understanding. Your habitual tendency are still there. Your cultivation has not stabilized. You have not really completely developed the ability to be with the moment, silent. You have to do it in line, in a retreat, in a meditation. Not until you go through it to really awaken to it, then this understanding cannot be stable, cannot be profound. It has to come from your own clear understanding. When you really witness it ceasing, then that one is not a knowledge anymore. No more like people tell you or what Brother Teo say. When you realize it, like the Buddha said, I can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Means you have to realize it yourself. Wisdom is to be awakened to, insight to. I cannot give it to you. I can share with you how to cultivate, how to develop. But you have to walk the path yourself. You have to develop it yourself. You have to awaken it yourself. It's just like eating food. I cannot eat on your behalf and you are not hungry. There's no such thing in it.
Mm.
You have to eat your own meal to overcome your hunger. So the reality is the understanding behind. If no understanding, you cannot comprehend truth, which is the reality. The understanding allow you to comprehend. That allow you to move, allow you to develop the understanding. So all this is what Dhamma is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do find that in certain ways that I am more confident and more calm when facing certain situations.
Yeah, you are improving day by day. But at the pace you are moving. If you really put in more resolve, faith, and understanding, then you can move faster. Some of the Kayamita, they become like very determined because of the faith. Then they go all out and cultivate. You can also do it, Manjana, no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else you want to add or share?
Actually, there's a lot of experience in my life that I can share, but I'm not sure how useful it is for me to share also.
later, that one, maybe when you are more clear and when you have the understanding, then you will know which are the important ones to share, where it can help other people too.
Actually, today's talk ties very well with Sunday's additional sharing.
Ah, yes, correct.
These are all the higher teachings.
Yes.
Whereby they are talking about the true mind and the empty
nature
of existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds very profound, Virtue.
Yes.
But it's like for people like me, it's like looking into the future only.
It's already very good because even for you to have the ability to understand.
Virtue, can you hear me?
Can. To understand and appreciate until this level is already very good because most people cannot comprehend. Is it?
I cannot hear you, Virtue.
You cannot hear me?
Okay, now I can hear you.
Oh, so I repeat. For your case, for you to have the ability to comprehend what was shared today with the Alicia Sunday on about the self nature, the emptiness and all things, it's already very good. Although you say you may not realize or understand the whole thing, but to have that ability to comprehend even what has been shared is already a very, very good progress. So very few cultivators can reach even that stage of understanding. where you have that ability to comprehend this because of your faith, your sadha, your virya, and also your determination, your very strong affirmation, then your progress in your cultivation, all this brings forth the causes and conditions for all this to be possible. Very good. You can continue, Pijin.
Pratio, it gives me so much joy actually when I hear it. And
yeah.
And like you say, I have to listen to it like maybe about 3 times.
Correct, correct.
To from the really, recording. Get it, and I go like, wow.
Yeah. That's how cultivator progress. For me, when I hear a certain truth or Dhamma, which I know the person who speak or share has higher understanding than what my nature has, I had a lot of joy. Then I will listen to it again and again. Then when the whole thing become clear, my nature actually rejoice. Then after that, I'm really funny. After I listen, I understand. I can go beyond the understanding of what that person shared. My nature from the past will unfold again. And let me develop further understanding on that particular topic. So cultivation is very wonderful. So as you go through, you realize, wow, a lot of wonderful things. Amazing, the word is amazing. Like Alicia and Pujing, they all used to use this word amazing. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's just like seeing another door open for
me. Yes.
Really wonderful, Bertio, to
hear this.
Bertio, I would like to share an incident happened last week, actually. Actually, I was having a coffee time with a friend. And during the conversation, the subject come about whereby we were talking about the lack of maids in Malaysia. And somehow the discussion, I say that, well, a lot of Malaysians do not really take care of the maids. And sometimes it can come to abuse of the maids. We take for granted that the maids are supposed to do a lot of things. Somehow it triggers childhood memories where my mom used to work as like ama for the family, whereby they take care of the child. And unfortunately, they do not treat her well, you know? And on both occasions, she was sacked when it was deemed that she did not carry out her responsibility, which was, of course, untrue. Of them being that because I fell down and had concussion, I had to be sent to the hospital. My mom, of course, being worried, she came to see me in the hospital. But before she did that, she handed the child that she was looking after to another maid who was looking after another child. He was sacked, you know? This is one incident that stays with me for a very long time. Another one was, also another incident where a child fell down and the parents accused that my mom didn't take care. My mom was just sitting just a short while ago, a short distance away. If the child fell down, what can my mom do? For that, she was sacked. I was with my mom at that time. I saw it for myself. Incident stayed with me, unfortunately. I was quite harsh with my opinions at that time. Bertio. After that, when I went back, I said that after I had my bath and all that, and when I sat down quietly by myself, I reflected back on what I did. And it came to me that I had been polluting the consciousness, Bertio.
Yeah, Yeah.
Unconsciously, yes. My way of talking and all this, I am actually polluting the consciousness of my friend, myself, and the consciousness. A lot of us may not realize that. And all these will have karmic consequences.
Yes.
So when I come to realize that, I wrote back to my friend and I apologize. I said, I'm so sorry that is what happened. And, I ask for forgiveness that
I
sent this type of bad vibes to him too. When I did that, Brother Gil, something very strange happened. It's like it's like a piece of jigsaw puzzle fitted into the jigsaw.
Oh, then the whole thing like resolved,
Yes. It's like I understand it now. I know that it is meant for me to see it and be aware of it and
then develop the understanding. Yeah.
Yes.
Brother, it's like the burden is no more there. You don't carry it anymore.
It's like it's like something lifted off my shoulder.
Yeah, lifted off. You don't carry it anymore. Like you say last time it was with you for so long. It's like a phobia or a very nasty incident that will stay with you on. But at that time when it happened, you cannot accept. Like you say, your view were different. You view it so differently. And you were so young at that time. But now that you have the Dhamma, you reflect back, you understand. Then the natural tendency is to resolve it amicably. That's why you need to ask for forgiveness. Yeah, which is a good thing that you did. Sadhu, very good.
It is like, it's like one thing has been resolved.
Yeah.
And that means I know that before we even speak, we have to be our right views have to come in very,
very important. Yes.
Yes.
That's why delusion can actually make us blind. Then we will do a lot of heedless things, negative things that have karmic consequences. So this one is very good. It allows you to reflect, understand, then recall to memory what happened in the past, and you resolve it amicably. Then, like a huge burden lifted off, that whole thing is gone. Then it will be rooted out from your consciousness. It no longer carry it anymore. Mm. So this one is very beautiful.
Yeah, Bertil is it's like part of our bodhisattva vows.
Yeah, correct.
And when we ask for forgiveness from whatsoever from the distant past until now.
Until now, yes.
Actually, all these incidences is part of it.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's part of the cultivation. Yeah.
Even
initially. The affirmation and the asking for forgiveness and repentance has to be done sincerely with faith. And the affirmation has to be very strong. Because it's an understanding that leads to this repentance. Then you vow not to allow all these things to happen again, to repeat all this again, through cultivation of the Noble Dhamma, following the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. Then that cultivation becomes different again. Sapa papasa akarana. Usalesa upasampada. Sachitta pariyodapanang. Etang buddhana sasana. All this become very clear. Then the way you cultivate is very different already. Then the understanding behind is very different. Very good, PJ Sadhu.
Yeah, Bertil, another thing is I would like to talk about is our mental intention.
That one also very important. Yes.
There is also a very, very, very interesting subject because of course, that comes together with our right views.
Yeah.
If our if we don't have right views, somehow how to say, the good intention actually does is not the intention that we do, we think that is good, somehow is not really pure.
Yeah, initially it's always like that. Yeah, because a lot of people good according to their own views and opinion and conditioning, because they analyze, then they reason, then they believe this is the right way. But when you have the right understanding or right view born of Dhamma, then it becomes very different. It's no more the I and the me, the you and the him, no more. It's just the understanding, condition like that, things will be like that. That everything is basing on causes and conditions. You got condition, do no condition, nothing happen. Then he know you, he know me, no mark, nothing. To reach that stage, you need to have wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, initially, like what you go through is correct. The mental intention, of course, you can improve on it through some form of Dhamma knowledge and contemplative wisdom. Like you say, I shouldn't be so selfish. I shouldn't like do all this because it will lead to karmic negativity. So initially, it's starting from all this. Then later on, when you penetrate the cultivation until you can see beyond anicca, dukkha, anatta, means you insight in the phenomena and realize that he know you, he know me, no mark of self, no mark of other, then you become different. Then everything is just dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. When there is condition, you act. No condition, you don't act. You act accord and flow. So that movement is born of Dhamma, born of understanding. There is no more about right and wrong, good and bad. Should I do or should I not do? It's no more. The I, the ego, has been like rooted out. It's just whether there is condition to do or not. If there is condition, it will just do. It's no more about the me and the I, the right and the wrong and all. No more. It's just understanding. When there's condition, move. No condition, just let things be. Yeah. Then you will not like want to do good, want to help people, you know, want to whatever. No more. There must be yin yan fa, means affinity or condition behind. Otherwise, you don't manifest. Because if you still have the ego to weigh and determine or reason and analyze, then it will hit back. The ego is still there. It's not rooted out. That's why it cannot be resolved. So you brought out a very good condition for this type of understanding to come up. So continue with what you are doing, because at least you know now the mental intention that you develop still has its own limitation. That's why you say good according to personal views, opinion, and conditioning. Not until that understanding become penetrated, means an awakening. The Dhamma has awakened. Or you have insight into it and awakened to it and developed the clear understanding. And then that time you behave differently. It is no more about right and wrong, do or not do, how should I act, you know. No more. The I is like no more, taken away. You look at causes and conditions. Then the form and mind is just the form and mind, no reality. It's subject to karma, you know. That's why you cannot violate. That's why you will know what to do. Need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Then need to invoke power, merit, because these are nature's law, causes and effect, condition arising, causal phenomena. So this movement is what the Diamond Sutta say, yi qie yu wei fa, ru meng huan pao yi, ru lu yi lu dian, yin zuo ru shi guan. Yi qie yu wei fa means everything is conditioned dhamma, no reality, empty. and they are dreamlike, illusion. Zhu Meng Huan is illusion. Pao is bubble. Yin is shadow. Then, like a lightning flash, split second is day and gone, and that is the only reality. So you should contemplate it thus. And then everything becomes clear. Okay, Biji?
Yes, okay. Thank you for your advice. I sincerely aspire to develop that type of consciousness.
Yeah, that type of understanding, which is wisdom-based. And it can happen. It can awaken. Then you become very different. The way you do things, the way you act, the way you move, the ego is gone. Then, like, that moment, the form and mind can just disappear or die or separate. No problem, no issue. The thought will not hold, "Ayo, I haven't done this, I haven't done that." No more. Because no reality. Empty. You understand? Empty nature or existence. Everything is condition number, dependent or real. No reality. And he know you, he know. And the only reality, which is the moment, split second is the end gone. Split second is the end gone. They say, Zulu ilu tian, like a lightning flash and a morning dew. Split second is gone. Very good. Sadhu.
Rajio, that word, empty nature of existence, is
very profound.
So profound.
Yeah,
it's so intriguing to me. I wrote it in my notebook.
you must write it down. Empty nature existence means there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence, but they are all empty. No reality. Not what you think. I already mentioned many times. The present moment is the only reality and highest in life. But how stable is the present moment? Split second is the end gone. Then, what is life? No reality at all. It's moment to moment. It just come and go, come and go. Reflect on it, contemplate on it, and see clearly within your consciousness. Then you realize all this world is sakayadhiti, illusion, avijja. When that one is gone, the consciousness become different. The user, the one that has the Dhamma wisdom, apply the understanding and input the pure content, which is without ego, without duality. It acts according to wisdom. No more memory, no more views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. All this gone, rooted out. Then that clarity, that understanding transforms the form and mind. And the form and mind become very beautiful. Then life become meaningful, wonderful. So all this, they will carry on. Very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu Bratio. I think that's all for tonight.
Very good. Let us rejoice. We are all the good sharing. Sadhu.